This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Steve Oberg, who is the aquatics manager for Preuss Pets. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thanks, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Steve, this morning we wanted to talk with you about the whole concept of propagating corals, because way back when in my days, we always used to joke that back then all you could pretty much have was plastic plants and a rock. But all of that changed in the 90s and 2000s to the point now where you walk into Preuss Pets and you see the most amazing reef tanks. How is it that people have been able to really grow and propagate corals?
Well, in the last, 20 years now, maybe hyper-intensively in the last 10 years, there's been so many leaps forward in our knowledge of how to care for saltwater aquariums and also for the equipment we have available between the lighting and the water flow. There's so much more effectiveness there that now we've got a situation where we pick up a coral, and instead of it only living for, a few months, and which would have been the case in the beginnings of the hobby, and everybody scratching their head as to why it didn't make it, now we've got the situation where they're surviving, growing, thriving, and we end up in a different problem where the corals actually get too large for their space.
It's a lot akin to a garden, and you want to have a beautiful flower garden, and certain flowers are going to grow like endlessly, and other ones you want to nurture and really prosper in that same space. Same thing, only we're dealing with like a 2 foot by 1 foot or a 4 foot by 2 foot tank environment. So it changes the whole world upside down, right?
Yeah, for sure. You're definitely looking for the health of the corals, and you're also working for the overall aesthetic of the aquarium and how the colors mix and what kind of proportions you're looking for and what kind of a scape you're looking for.
So the listening audience, will they see much color in a reef tank? Give a little color commentating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can get things like a rose bubble tip anemone that would be a vibrant pink or red. Every one of the more vibrant colors of the rainbow is definitely an option. There's long, like tentacle-like textures. There's an amazing array of different colors and forms.
Buttons, little buttons, almost like you'd have on your shirt. Only imagine gone wild, psychedelic and such.
Sure. Yeah, button polyps would be what you'd be talking about there, and they'll do what they call encrusting the rock. So they'll actually grow similar to like grass would grow on the side of a hill or in your lawn. It'll cover the surface that's there. If there's a bump, it'll grow over the bump. And that leads to what we do with these things once they fill up the space, because inevitably, the corals are going to start touching each other, in some ways stinging each other, and or even just getting too large to be sustained with the amount of light or the amount of water flow. Some corals will automatically reproduce on their own. You'll see sea anemones splitting in half. You'll see certain soft corals that look like trees essentially dropping their what would be called a branch, and then that will then attach to something else, and they'll split naturally by fragmenting themselves. What we'll do sometimes is we'll also do that fragmenting for the coral, and that's one of our main means of producing all of the corals that we have today.
So what kind of tools might you approach your reef tank with that might be expected and surprising?
Well, if we visualize first a soft coral that looks like a tree, you might call them like a finger leather, would be one that we could use as an example. And you want to do prune a branch, just like you would prune a branch off a tree. You could do that with some very sharp object like a scalpel or a very sharp razor blade or a very, very sharp pair of scissors. And that pruned branch, just like if you were to cut it off of the tree that's remaining will naturally heal over that cut spot. And unlike the tree, though, the cut branch is now a viable coral. And right. we can then attach that to something, and then we have a small one. And then give it a month, and it's bigger, and give it two more months, and it's bigger and bigger.
I'm thinking the topic of super glue and how that applies to coral propagation. In one situation, we have products that are similar to super glue. When would someone use something like that in their reef tank?
Sure. For another coral that might be like a hard coral or what we call a small polyp stony coral, we would use something like a pair of scissors or shears to snap a branch off. But instead of being like a soft kind of fluffy branch, it would be a very rigid, almost like a stone. And we'll then take that and we'll use what's called cyanoacrylate gel or CA gel, which is a type of super glue.
Yeah.
We'll actually use that to attach that coral fragment to either a piece of live rock from an aquarium or even what's become to be known as a frag plug, which is a small object that we'll attach the corals to that will have a little peg on it. And it'll be really easy to stand it up so that we can kind of keep the fragments organized.
And then the other thing, it's somewhat different but similar to one might get for epoxy putty that they might even find at a hardware store, only this is a little bit more flavored for your tank and safer for your tank. Describe what putty is and how that comes to play when we start intertwining live rock and coral pieces that need to be put back on your reef.
Sure. Yeah, well, a lot of times we'll have a coral that we'll have attached to something, maybe one of those frag plugs, maybe a small piece of live rock, and we want to attach it to the main rock structure in the aquarium, but we have essentially a square hole and a round peg, and they don't match perfectly, and we're worried it's going to sit there but then get knocked over by a snail or just fall over and injure the coral. We'll actually use the two-part epoxy, and the one I like is actually purple, so it kind of matches some of the colors that are already in the aquarium, but you'll mix it up. It'll be like a soft putty. We'll put the coral fragment where it's supposed to go. Then we'll use the putty to kind of shore up the sides of it to make sure that we're keeping it from falling out. We're not really using it as an adhesive to, like we use the super glue to stick two objects together. We're almost more using it as a buffer to keep the thing from falling out of that space.
And do you think even a fifth grader could do this, not to be offensive to fifth graders, but is this something that one might have the perception that only the professional can do, or can somebody that's just never
yeah.
heard
Any,
of this?
Anybody, yeah.
Even
anybody
me?
Can do this.
Even me?
Even you, Lee. Even
wow.
Lee.
yeah, so we'll go past fifth graders.
So, certainly the tools we've been talking about, there's a certain amount of care that should be used, and whenever you're, working in a environment like that, you'll want to, operate with some care and some supervision. We'll go beyond the fifth grader, we'll occasionally use a small diamond bandsaw, and that'll actually be used to do some very precise fragmenting for like some brain corals or some of those other hard corals we talked about. And that can be used because of the flat edge it creates and also the ability to kind of contour and move in between and around polyps. Our main focus is to separate the pieces with the minimal damage so that way the healing can take place as quickly as possible and they can focus on growth and health after that.
Steve, are there any corals that don't mix and play well with others that you need to be careful of when you're figuring out what to put in your tank?
Oh, sure. There's corals that need more light or less light. There's corals that need more water flow and less water flow. And then there's corals that have the ability to sting. and just being in proximity to each other, they can harm each other. There's even corals that release something called an allele chemical, which is actually a chemical they release into the water that would actually inhibit the growth of the other corals in the water. So there's a lot of care we use to help people figure out what type of coral they're going to keep, where they're going to put them, thinking about their future growth, because they're usually buying tiny little corals or tiny compared to what they're going to be. And then they're watching them grow and grow and grow. And with some careful placement, they can have a very beautiful environment, given time to allow it to grow.
Well, it sounds like it's a very fun thing to do. And Steve, you've made what's difficult sound easy. And that's an encouragement to everyone to go out and try it. If you don't want to build your own coral reef down in Florida, you can at least put one into a fish tank in your own living room. And we appreciate your help. We've been speaking this morning with Steve Oberg, the aquatics manager from Prue's Pets. Thank you for coming back on the show, Steve. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation and talk about the swap meet right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.